This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. For years, the Cherokee County Department of Social Services unlawfully removed dozens and potentially even hundreds of children from their homes. DSS workers bypassed standard legal procedure and instead instructed families to sign custody and visitation agreements to authorize removal of their children. In some cases, workers threatened to send kids into foster care if the agreements weren't signed. This practice has since been ruled unconstitutional, and a federal lawsuit is underway to seek justice for affected families. The State Department of Justice is also considering criminal charges against some county officials involved. Carolina Public Press lead investigative reporter Kate Martin's been following the story and joins me now. Kate, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
Tell us how this whole custody story in Cherokee County got started.
Well, we're kind of hazy on the details, and the attorneys for the plaintiffs are too, but from what we can tell, the former attorney, his name is Scott Lindsay, for the Department of Social Services in Cherokee County, he told a judge a little while ago that he first got a copy of a document, the custody and visitation agreement, from another attorney somewhere around 2007 or 2010, maybe even earlier than that, at a continuing legal education event that he attended. You know, he told a judge that he believes the agreements would have been used as early as summer 2014 when he was first employed full time at the county. But I do know that lawyers for the plaintiffs have found a CVA that was dated to 2009. So we're just not sure.
All right. So tell us more about these agreements. What do they say and what do they do?
Right. So first off, just to be totally clear, a judge ruled that these are unconstitutional. The judge said that they're a product of actual and constructive fraud, which is a very strong phrase that was used in the ruling in essentially what was a custody hearing. Normally, when you're transferring custody of a child, you need a judge's approval. In this case, parents signed custody and visitation agreements to sign over custody of their children, a lot of the times under duress, and sometimes they didn't even know what the CVAs actually did. What social workers told parents is that the department would close the case once the parent signed the document, and they told parents that the document was legally binding until the child turned 18. One social worker also told a parent that if she signed the CVA, she would avoid court involvement and she wouldn't have to take any more drug tests. He also told her that she would have visitation with her child when, in fact, she didn't even get to see her child for more than a year.
All right, so let's get a sense of when and why and how anybody would even be presented with one of these. What kind of a situation? Maybe we can use the case that brought this whole thing to light as an example for, mm-hmm. you know, of how one would even be faced with signing such an agreement.
Right. So I guess if we're talking generically here, you know, if you get the attention of Department of Social Services, your family might be in some kind of a trouble, there could be drugs involved, or maybe a teacher has reported your child with signs of neglect, and DSS would normally come over and take a look to see what's happening. And if they see things that are, you know, of a danger to the child, then they would, you know, continue with the process. Instead, what happened in some of these cases is they seem to sidestep the whole legal process, the legal avenue, just by getting parents to sign these custody and visitation agreements, to sign a child over to, say, a relative or maybe to a biological father who wasn't actually on the child's birth certificate.
Yeah, so you say, so like in your example, the teacher notices some signs, they're worried, they call DSS. Uh-huh. DSS goes in and investigates. They say, you know, I think we've got something here. What they should have done, apparently, and the procedure is, you take these concerns to a judge. Mm-hmm. You're worried as DSS now that this child is in a dangerous situation, needs to be removed. Here's what we do next. What we do next is go to a judge, and we present right. all of this. The judge then says, takes a look at those findings, considers the very serious step of taking a child away from their home, right?
Right.
And says, yes or no.
Right. I mean, we have to remember that this is a constitutional violation that this process did. You have a right to, you know, raise your child in very wide latitude under the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution.
So instead, a lawyer who had been working with DSS said at one point or another, he comes across this document, mm-hmm. an agreement, and says, you know, we don't have to see a judge all the time. We'll just hand this to a family and say, sign it. And apparently some of these were and bypassed the whole judicial process.
Well, I don't actually know what the internal conversation was. I mean, essentially what he did is he got this document. He passed it out to some supervisors. And then in some testimony that he gave during essentially what was a custody hearing, because a parent challenged the CVA in court, and that's when all of this information started coming out. He handed it out to some supervisors, and then he said, you know, all of a sudden he started getting emails back with the CVAs filled out with names filled in and everything.
All right. So talk about how this came to light in the case that really brought it to our attention.
Well, there's a couple of cases. One that I'm more familiar with was in 2017, where there was a man who was not on the child's birth certificate. He was sort of like a construction worker or something, and he'd go out of state, and he came back. And he found out that the woman that he'd been with was pregnant, and they didn't know who the father was. They did a DNA test. Lo and behold, he's the father. He wasn't on the birth certificate. She was in some kind of trouble, and they essentially coerced her into filing a custody and visitation agreement. And then later, they challenged this in court, and that's how it came out.
Right.
And there's another case, too,
sort of
similar.
Brian Hogan?
Right, yeah. I'm not as familiar with his case, so I'd rather not speak on it.
That's fine. So now these cases have come to light. That's how we learn that these documents, and then as you say, a judge has since ruled they're unconstitutional.
Right. Every single one of them, this judge has said, is unconstitutional and void.
All right. There are a few key players in this that are being looked into. Scott Lindsay, the attorney, longtime DSS attorney, since been fired from the agency.
Right.
And
he still retains his law license, though.
Tell us about Cindy Palmer.
Right. Cindy Palmer was the director for the Cherokee County DSS. She started working there around 1999 as sort of a low-level worker, and she worked her way up into the top position as the director. Just so everybody's aware, Cindy Palmer is the wife of Derek Palmer, and Derek Palmer is the elected sheriff in Cherokee County. Since this has happened, she was then removed from the director's position, but now she's back working for the agency as a business officer.
All right. And I understand an even higher pay level.
Right. Yeah. She's making a few thousand more than what she used to. One thing to be really clear about this whole case is the State Bureau of Investigation took a very deep look into this. They interviewed, I'm assuming, dozens of people over many, many days. They had 7 or 8 agents up in Cherokee County for several days interviewing parents and officials. The results of their probe had been turned over to the district attorney, who then recused herself because Cindy Palmer is, again, the sheriff's wife, and she prosecutes cases out of the sheriff's office. And so now the state attorney general is the agency considering charges in this case.
All right. So there may be criminal charges, and they would be brought by the state attorney general
Correct.
In this case if they were to be brought at all. But there's a federal lawsuit. Talk about
right.
that.
Yeah. So the federal lawsuit is being held in the Western District of North Carolina. They've actually just yesterday added several new parents to the people who are now suing essentially Cherokee County, Scott Lindsay, Cindy Palmer. They also added 2 new directors to the lawsuit. I don't think there's a dollar amount that I've identified that they're looking for, but the attorneys expect that this is going to take several years and it will endure many appeals.
Do we know? We certainly know how many names are on that federal lawsuit at the moment. Do we know how many families or children might be involved in this?
You know, I think that's another good question because they're just so unsure of the time frame. There's actually, and so the DSS's record keeping ability was not very good. They didn't actually keep a list of all of these custody and visitation agreements. They would just sort of slip it into each person's file. And so now to find them, they have to search every single file. And then in some of the testimony I've read, they also just mysteriously have missed all of 2009. They don't have any records from 2009. And if you recall, one of those custody and visitation agreements that was recently discovered is from 2009.
Yeah, and the attorney...
So there could be hundreds, is what I'm saying.
Could be hundreds. And that's if we go back to 2009.
Or maybe earlier.
But maybe earlier, because Scott Lindsay's been the attorney who was involved and brought this document to DSS initially, who is not working with them anymore. Started working with them in the 1990s, am I right?
Right,
yeah.
I think it was 1999 when he started working there hourly, I believe.
And he can't quite remember when he introduced this document, at least according to the testimony as I understand it.
Yeah, he said, according to his testimony, he said he got it in 2007 or 2010, maybe earlier.
Yeah, maybe earlier. So we don't know. So again, the total number of, do we have any idea why DSS used this process? What might have been the motive for this?
Well, I don't have anything definitive, but in a couple of the parents that I talked to, they told me that They were told as soon as they signed the custody and visitation agreement that they wouldn't have to do any more drug tests, they wouldn't be involved in the legal system anymore, and then they would still get to visit their child according to the people who talked to them. And so there's other parents that I've read about who have had essentially the same story. They wouldn't be followed up on by DSS. I mean, it could be a money issue because it's very expensive to follow these cases through and do home visits and do medical visits for, say, a drug addicted child or anything like that.
Once you sign this agreement, then you're sort of off the caseload.
That's what the DSS workers said, is they would close the case and there would be no future follow up.
Now, there's a federal lawsuit pending with a number of names attached to it, a number mm-hmm. of families who are part of that lawsuit, and it may evolve into a class action suit.
That's what I'm hearing.
All right. And criminal charges as well. We don't know any more about that going forward.
I'm not getting a whole lot of information about what charges, but I would assume they're pretty serious if the district attorney decided to recuse herself.
Very briefly now, what's been the response to the story in Cherokee County?
Right. So the sheriff has, first off, the county has no official position. They won't comment on pending litigation, but the sheriff has a weekly radio show where he talks about various topics. So a couple Fridays ago, he said, "The past year has been very stressful on me and my wife due to, quote, everything that's been printed and everything that's going on and the gossip and the rumor mill." And just so you're aware, the sheriff has been under several SBI investigations as well. One of them has to do with the death of an inmate. Another one has to do with guards encouraging inmates to fight. And there's another one I'm forgetting off the top of my head. But anyway, he said on this radio show that he feels like God is with him and his wife. God never promised to keep bad things from happening to us. And he just thinks that God's going to be with him the whole way through.
Kate Martin is lead investigative reporter of the Carolina Public Press. Thanks for staying on this.
Thank you for having me.
You can find links to her reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a triple biography of Southern sisters whose progressive ideas took them from the South, but not far. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.